Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan! Here we are, dude. The pileup is beginning now. People have like, I don't even know, 20 hours or something before the deadline after listening.
Yeah, it's a pileup. It's just more red arrows than normal, so it's great.
Yeah, we're averaging a higher number of red arrows per 90. It's good.
Yeah.
How you doing?
You know, just normal, normal stuff. normal things.
I did the maths on your -8, and you came out basically even, so...
Yeah.
That's great. I feel like my motto when gambling on sports is that a push is a win, and taking a -8 and basically getting a gray arrow despite a captain blank and a -8, that's basically a win for me.
Yeah, my motto is like a push / gray arrow is, even though it was really a red arrow, is a huge green arrow. So it's great.
It's a great motto.
It's great. Yeah. I just tricked myself into fake life, and it's fantastic.
Well, yeah, your red arrow is teeny, 7K. Talk to me about your week.
I mean, someone was like, oh, like, when are you potting? Like, are you going to be dark? I was like, dude, I got an Otsel return, and I'm
right.
So, I could have had like 13 points this week as long as Otsel got a return. Like, I'm so happy.
With the vice cap, too. Like, looks so good. God.
Yeah, it's the V. It's like it's more sexual, even though obviously Kane just didn't do anything. But yeah, I mean, I got a 51 with my hit accounted for, a small red arrow. Getting Sun in was like good. Obviously, he's going to be a good player. And captaining Kane didn't work out. He was, I mean, we'll talk about Spurs, but he was like dropping deeper. Ollie was playing more forward than him. I think the average positioning throughout the game, Ollie was a little bit more ahead of him. Yeah. But I mean, Otsel was the tactics from Freddie were just bad. I'm sure we'll as well talk about Arsenal, but that was very upsetting to see him in like the first 10 minutes. He was just playing completely free role, like centrally, just drifting like left, right. And then, I think it was around like 10 to 15 minute mark. They just like went into like 4-3-3, and he was just on the left wing, just completely shunted, like fucked out of the game, which was diabolical. But you know, I got Trent points, got obviously Vardy, like LOL Vardy. And I mean, it must be said that the real Kevin, holding Kevin, that banger was ridiculous, even though he was bad again, I think. Yeah, but the real hero is like, his name is Martin Kelly. He's just such a beautiful human.
You have to rub that into me, yeah. No, he's just like the best pick in the game right now. He's just like
he is the best defender value pick in the game.
Oh, by far.
By far.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were very fortunate to keep the clean. Like, we could have easily let up two goals on another day.
The numbers were ridiculous. Wood had like insane chances, yeah.
Yeah, Wood fucked up.
Yeah,
four times, in the box.
He really did,
But at the same time, you know, we still play three DMs, and, you know, you got to get a little bit lucky to have a clean sheet. Like, it's hard to have a clean sheet. And, yeah, I mean, Palace, the run until fucking, like, March is just really stupid. We only have one bad fixture until March 21st when we go to Liverpool. So...
Yeah, that's
Palace in right now.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly is just a great pick. PVA is getting talked about a bit.
His stats were really bad against Guaita, Burnley, though, too. Which is... Yeah, Guaita looks like pretty okay, even though he still suffers from kind of like that Henderson syndrome where, you know, he's right in and around like between 2 and 4 saves a game, but... You know, he's okay on bonus points, so like, you know, he's reasonable, but at 5 million, you know, that's not cheap. Yeah. And then you're also right there like in the Schmeichel territory where it's just like you're dumb to pick a Palace defender over a Leicester defender just based on like the team, even though the fixtures are whatever, you know. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, you know, 51 points, like
fine.
I got Otsel. Everything's fine with Otsel, so it's fine. Yeah. He does pick himself. He's He's just beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, he'll just solidly tick assists as usual.
Yeah.
So
how about you?
53, but on -4, so 49, just below average. Another red arrow, also a small red arrow, though I'm not too bothered. Like, obviously, the week we both transfer out Raz.
Oh yeah,
he plays the position about that he hasn't played in like 2 months, maybe. And
I think three,
maybe
two,
somewhere
two
in there. I actually will do the work maybe on the plane tomorrow, since I'll have a lot of time. Like, I want to actually pull the heat maps and show people what we're talking about, because I looked at a couple of them, and most of the heat maps in the season, he's just on the touchline. And then, you know, against Newcastle, he's just like in the box, second striker. And obviously, yeah, we would have kept him if that was his thing. But
the thing that was like putting me over the edge with Raz this weekend was that, like, the game happened and then it finished, and then, like, you know, obviously always on Slack.
Yeah.
People are just sitting there saying, like, I mean, I hate people that are fucking horrible. Like, they're just so bad. But it's like people are just like, oh, like, yeah, like, I kept Raz instead of Mo because, like, you know, like, Kun out and, you know, the position was really the only problem. It's like, we literally watch them have a game with, and they're like, Kun out, like, Jesus in, like, Raz gonna play better, whatever. We literally watch them play midweek in a Champions League game with Jesus, and Raz was exact same position next to Pep with zero shots on target. And everyone's just like, in hindsight, is like, oh yeah, like, of course, like, he's like better hold, like, easier hold. It's just like, dude, you're like, did you just banish that from your mind that that happened? Like, he was playing the exact same position that he has with Kun with Jesus in midweek. It's like, dude, that's not like, what are you basing this on? That's like
accurate.
Me saying like, oh, like, fucking Joel Ward, he's injured, but he might not be injured. And he used to play CDM, so he used to be out of position. So maybe this week he's going to play out of position. It's like, what? Dude, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, he's going to play a position he hasn't played all, like, all season because of dumb shit when you have a data point against that is beyond my understandings. So it's like, instead of people just being like, oh my God, like, so lucky with Raz, like, he played, like, the regular Raz position, they're just saying, you know, oh yeah, of course, like, of course he was going to do this. It's just like, what the fuck are you saying? It's insane.
That's by far the most tilting shit. I'm happy I wasn't on Slack for that, because I would have been equally tilted. But yeah, for those who don't know, I was at the Liverpool Brighton game, so I basically missed all of Saturday. But
do you have Van Dijk?
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say it was all worth it. You know, I have VVD. Gets a fucking brace. We get 3 points. It was incredible. Even though I knew, like, yeah, I should have transferred Mo out instead of Raz. We talked about that on Friday of My Life. I would have capped Vards, as he was my captain all week, as we talked about last pod. But, like, I went to the match, so I captained Mo. Fuck it. Like, I don't care. And it was all worth it. It was great. Hit didn't work out at all because of Raz. Giant net loss for me. But, you know, it's fine. I had a great day. It was all fine. It was all a dream.
Good for you.
Housekeeping. Shout out to FML Field Prize League Mugly winner for November. December kicks off tomorrow, so which is like the most competitive mug month of the season because there's so many game weeks. So get in there for that. But yeah, winner for November, Kyle Rutherford, a.k.a. Shinpan Jack, a.k.a. Fuego Alert with the bench boost to get him over the line. And shout out to the leader of the FMLPL Public League, Norwegian guy called Halstein. Yudstedbo or something, and his team name is...
No. That was definitely correct pronunciation.
Here's the spelling of his last name. Y-D-S-T-E-B-O.
Yeah. Yudstedbo.
Yeah, I nailed it.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah,
his
compliment
team name is
you.
Nymphomane, which I like a lot. I don't really understand what that is, but I'm happy that he's having
just
a flyer.
Like,
good job by him.
Intense BDSM sessions.
He's a big Mane fan, if you know what I mean.
Yudstedbo. Yosemite Sam, let's go.
Right. Where do you want to kick off here?
So I think we have many, many topics to discuss. I would definitely like to talk about Spurs and Arsenal in isolation. Maybe those are the two places we could start.
Yeah,
do you have anything
North London?
North. Yeah, North's North. What do you want to go there? Where do you want to go?
Well, I watched the Arsenal match. I didn't see the full Spurs match. So, yeah, let's just start with Arsenal. I mean, what do you see there? I felt like Ob's owners are extremely lucky, and he really didn't deserve that brace at all.
I don't think extremely lucky is like enough plaudits or enough example of how lucky it was.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. He was
playing reverse out of position for like 85 of the 90 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, he was on the right wing just putting in like head down crosses and, you know, scoring on the pen after he already fucked the pen, plus broken corner goal braces. I mean, that is just so tilting. I don't have many words for this.
Yeah, especially as you were considering either one. Laka was the way more threatening player in open play.
Yeah, I mean, Laka, he had one big chance in the first half that he kind of like fluffed, and then really it came down to just Fredberg. The tactics were just really bad to me. Like, he had an okay 11 for what he had with Tierney.
11 was a fucking nightmare.
Well, I think with Tierney and Bellerin out, like, okay. But what do you... Willock, I still don't really understand why people think he's good. I have not seen him play one good game yet. And people seem to just say, like, oh, he's fine because he's, like, in the youth team and Freddie coached the youth team and he loves him. Like, I thought he was very poor. But with those fullbacks, I think the main problem that I had with the tactics were that he kept going. Every single attack was being funneled out wide, and they didn't have one single buildup up the middle third, which just didn't make sense to me when you have Ozil. Like, the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the game, Ozil was kind of a free roll, kind of floating around left or right, and that's when they were kind of like boazing around. And then all of a sudden, they made a switch where Ozil was just on the left wing for this forward left player. And
he was like deep left.
Yeah, I mean, they just might as well have played 10 men with like a 4-4 or a 4-3-2 with like no left winger. He can't play that position. That's an ineffectual position for him. And they were doing like a lot of really good things in the first 10, 15 minutes from what I was watching. Ozil was getting on the ball and he was like kind of creating stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you go over to the corner flag and stand there for the rest of the game and do nothing. And then Obbs is just like head down, like putting in bullshit crosses, and Laka is marked by 10 men. It made no sense. So that was very upsetting because I thought like Fredrick is like, he's like cutie. Like he's like a hot bod, like good guy.
He's kind of a weird little cutie. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but it was just an insane thing for me that I was like watching the game. And initially I was like, okay, like this could do things. This is like workable. And you know, then the other thing is like, if he did the exact same thing with Tierney and Bellerin, they could have scored 7. Like, I mean, that would have been... Chambers was so fucking bad. Yeah. It was so insane how bad Chambers was in this game. But they kept like funneling to the right, like putting attacks.
It's
like,
the same.
He was so bad.
It's the same annoyance that I had with Klopp in the Liverpool-Napoli game when Gomez was playing right back. It's like Gomez, Chambo, those kind of guys, they can do a job, but they can't replicate the guys that they're taking the place of. You know, like Chambo can't do what Bellerin does. Gomez can't do what Trent does. So you have to adapt and change.
Right.
And I hate that. Drove me crazy.
I mean, Freddie just didn't do that at all. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Laka definitely, like, quote unquote, so much better of a pick than Obbs. It's not really
off
close
one game,
to me.
Not close.
Yeah, it's not close. And, you know, I'm down fucking 11 points from it. So that's good job.
Two shots. One was the pen and one was a broken corner. Nothing.
Obbs could have had
zero
like,
shots
in
open play.
He missed a pen, like, and he got a broken. It's just.
Literally zero shots in open play. Laka had 3 and was central. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Obbs was just so bad. And Laka was really bad also, I think. Like, his holdup, I can't believe he didn't get a yellow card. He must have had like 5 fouls that game. And I just thought that he was also just very poor in general. But positional-wise, like, he was definitely better than Obbs. And,
another thing with the tactics that was really frustrating was just, to me, I understand that, like, Obbs can play the wing and, like, he's capable of scoring goals from that position. And, like, yeah, sure, whatever. He scored 2 goals, even though it's bullshit. It's like he still should be like in and around the box. You know, like I feel like Freddie was basically playing him in like Pepe's position, like just the widest winger, just putting in crosses. Like that's not what you want. You want him like minimum cutting in. You don't want him just like as a winger. And I think that was frustrating too. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's also similar to kind of what City have been doing with some of these games when they put in 70 crosses. It's just like, why are you not building up through the central of the field when you have like David Silva and shit? When you could do those kind of tiki takas and try and like unlock or whatever, like just get those quick 1-2s and then run in behind, like down the middle. You're just going out wide and then crossing into these donkey center backs who just clear everything without an issue. When your striker is like a fucking midget, like Laka or Jesus or Kun or whatever, you know, it's insane. I mean, it was just like really insane. And it's just so confusing.
It's like he's not a manager.
Yeah, so almost as if. But it's also just so confusing that, you know, we watch the game and I honestly, like the first 15 minutes, I was like, wow, like Arsenal are going to fucking do these. Like, this is not going to be competitive. And then he switches formation into like, oh, here, Norwich, like get whatever amount of points you want today. Cause I'm just like, we're done now.
Yep.
And I'm just watching, what are they? And then it's halftime. I'm like, okay, maybe we'll go back like to regular, like when they were doing good. And then he does nothing. He does the exact same thing. I'm just like, what the fuck are they watching? It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Rough showing for Freddie. Ugh. I hope for Nate and Luca and everyone's sake that he is not permanent. That would not be good, I don't think.
No, no.
Yeah. But the other North London team keeps scoring a lot of goals. Spurs keep scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, what'd you see there?
So, yeah, I'm basing it off highlights, but funnily enough, they were like outshot. Less shots on target, you know, like a lot of things were basically similar in the numbers, but when it came to actually just XG and the quality of the chances between the two teams, like Spurs were getting like sitters, and just Ali looked incredible. Toby was just Danny Dimesing his all day, every day, just like it used to be like 3 years ago or whatever the fuck. And honestly, when I checked my dad's phone when I was at the ground and I saw Spurs 3 goals, I was like, oh my God, Kane, let's go. You know, like I probably just got a haul. And then when you watch the highlights back, I'm just like, where is Kane? Like he's just not even in the picture. A lot of those counters, he just can't keep up. He's like jogging while Son and Ali are just blazing by him. And he's like pointing to a spot and they're already in the box. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. I mean, that was the story of the game. I mean, Ali again, like his average positioning was ahead of Kane, which is not very common, even though we always like make fun of, you know, Kane dropping deep, like whatever. But yeah, I mean, Kane, there were so many counterattacks where he's just not in frame. And I'm just watching, I'm like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Where are you and what are you doing? And I just couldn't give an answer to that.
Where are you?
Yeah, where I let's be having you. But
yeah, but no, Ali I felt bad on highlights as a Kane owner, but it seemed like his he stats also did were have, good. He took a bunch of shots and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is like Son, I think he had 2 really good chances that he messed up that would have been Kane assists. And I mean, Kane had like 1 chance I can recall on the top of my head. But in general, I mean, he was still just like around, you know, the points. Yeah. It just wasn't on those like huge long ball counters. Like Kane's just like crawling in midfield or something.
Right. But, right.
Yeah. I mean, Kane still looks good. Son looked good. Ali, I just don't think, I think that was more of a one-off for Ali and just like, he's going to let Ali run free because of like the midweek. They were a little bit tired and shit like that. I mean, Son still looked good and, you know, Sissoko looked good somehow, but I think Luke, like that also is like a more, you know, you feel bad if you just bought Lucas in because he's fucking obviously, bench. Yeah. But if you put Lucas in that, like the average position was the exact same thing, like basically level with Kane and Ollie, like in that kind of like right side over there with like RA a little bit behind. And I think if you have Lucas, like you're still just like very happy that you have him. I expect him to come straight back in. There's no comparison between Sissoko and Lucas on the counter, like playing forward like that, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I think Spurs, it's the defense is, I just don't think that people are really people that are just like, oh yeah, I'm going to get the defenders in because it's like a Mourinho team and they're going to shut up shop. Like, I think that that is undervaluing Mourinho's kind of like ability as a manager of playing to his squad and just playing and like kind of like kind of old bias of just like his teams normally keep good clean sheet numbers because their defense is very bad. They like have
the midfield is just like, yeah.
Yeah, the midfield is bad, and the midfield adds they made, like Ndombele, who's, I don't want to go over the fucking free kick goal that he let up again, but him and like Lo Celso and Winks, like Dyer can't pass. They don't have the personnel to shut it down. And I don't really understand why people are like, oh yeah, like they're going to be so good defensively. Like I want to get like Gazzaniga and Aurier in because they're going to get clean sheets. Like, dude, I mean, like they're
We were there when the move first happened. We were like, yeah, they might be good. And I was like, yeah, I feel better with Gaz now than I did before.
Yeah, but the
people
tactics
simultaneously are ignoring the results and what's been happening.
That's the thing.
I totally agree with
and
you.
It's, yeah. And it has nothing to do as much with the results of just the performances of like, yeah, they're still really bad on set pieces, but the performances are not that he's like, let's shackle these and play three DMs and, you know, like go like palace mode and hope to nick counterattacks with like Costa and Hazard, aka like Son and Kane. He's like, our defensive players are very bad. And for us to win games, like it's going to be 3-2s. And there's nothing that he's done so far to lead us to believe that they're going to start playing defensively. Like, you know, I'm of course like going to Old Trafford, you know, this week, and you know that's going to be a game where he'll probably like
they'll set up more conservatively.
A little bit more conservatively, but he's still playing like a pivot with one of the CDMs who's just can't play defense and playing four attackers who are like, you know, Ollie's box to box, but you know, he's more of like a twat mode yellow card in recovery than just like coming back and like really like shoring it up, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, that has also bothered me like this week, 2 weeks, just the narrative of like, you know, oh, like double defense is gonna be good or something, like, because the performances just haven't been like that to me. And it doesn't make sense to me to cite like the last like 5 years of Mourinho's management of like looking at how he set the team up, that he's going to all of a sudden like somehow try and do that with Spurs when they just don't have the personnel. I mean, they don't have like Dyer and Matic. Like, okay, then that's going to be a defensive team, but he has like little Diddy Kong and like shitty ass DMs who play like Cam and Dyer, who's just ridiculous. He's a right guard shot every game. Like, they're not going to keep clean sheets. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I definitely, like, Gaz doesn't feel good anymore. It felt good for a week, and it doesn't feel good at all anymore. I mean, yeah, the Harry Wilson free kick was ridiculous, worldy. That's not going to happen every week. But they had lots of other shots in the box. They had no problem getting into the box and getting shots in the box, and that's not the sign of a good defensive team. He's going to keep a lot of clean sheets. Gav said, is Dele essential? LOL, Gav. Lucas was wondering if we could look at Ollie compare this season to his underlying stats in the 16-17 season. And then Bowski said, rank the Tottenham assets, also a range of players you'd be happy to sell to bring them in, like Mato out, etc. How do you rank these guys?
So I think the Ollie, like, that was an interesting question, like 16-17, like,
yeah,
he's we have three games so far with Ollie, and you know, like, you look at the West Ham game last weekend in the league, and he had, I think, zero shots in the box, and this week he should have scored a hat trick.
Yep.
And he was like playing more forward than Kane, and he just had free license. They were playing a little bit deeper back line, and Toby was playing long balls, and they were just like trying to hit on the counter.
So what does that say to you?
I think we just need more info. I think what it says to me is that Ollie is definitely going to be good, and he's going to be either assisting or scoring like a lot of their goals. Probably like a really high percentage of like the Spurs goal involvement is going to be with Ollie.
Yeah, I think
because
so,
it's building up, or he's at the tip of the spear if he's running in behind Kane and Kane's like lying down at the mid circle, center circle or something. But I think that we just need like a little bit more time. But I definitely think that we've seen enough from Spurs to know that like Ollie is like the talisman kind of player.
Yeah.
And he just looks really good. Like, I think
really good in all three games. Yeah.
Every game. Like, he's had different jobs to do.
Yep.
And he's looked really good every game. And whether or not he puts Eriksen in against like a 4-on-4-1 or whatever, like midweek against Olympiacos, like he's really good, and it's him or his brother, whoever is out there, like they're great. And it's a good price point, it's a good pick. And I think, like, you know, you're looking at like a Madison type, like if you can get there, it's not close. Like Madison's not playing the same position. Like look at the stats that Ollie had this weekend. Madison won't have a game with those stats his entire fucking life.
Ever.
They just don't play the same position.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that you're like overthinking it. If you're like, oh, let me be passive, like Madison, good fixtures, like blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, maybe now, like
this at one Old fixture, Trafford, home Watford versus,
you can wait fine. A week. But like, if you're still thinking about that past that, like Madison's going to tick just like fucking Zaha will, but he's not playing like striker like Ollie is. So I think like, Ollie's like way better. It's not
you're
close.
Having a fucking great pod right now. I just want to say you're absolutely killing it right now.
See, this when we don't talk because you're away,
then
I have like so much pent up pod anger.
Oh, we need to talk less, but not actual. I mean, Ollie, I feel I basically echo all of your thoughts. And I just wanted to say also, it's like a lot of it will depend on how the opponent plays and how Spurs can exploit the opponent best. You know, like Mourinho is just trying to get 3 points. He's not trying to get, you know, maximize Ollie's like goal scoring tally. If the game is going to be slow build up, et cetera, there might be games again, like 2 weeks ago, like you said, Ollie just doesn't really get in the box. Doesn't have any shots in the box. He's just kind of progressing the ball, spraying the ball to the wingers, et cetera. But if the game script goes the way it did against Bournemouth and Moo sees something or Toby sees something, and it's like, we can just go over the top of these guys, then that's what's going to happen. It's not like he's going to, you know, score 25 goals or some shit. It's just going to be like week to week, a different role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to expose him.
Expose him. So how would you rank these these assets? I mean, yeah, it's hard. I want Ollie for sure.
Yeah. I still think it's like Son 1, Ollie 2, Lucas 3.
Not Kane 3?
No, I think Kane's 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad. I don't know. In the same way that we need more time with Ollie, I still think that there are going to be matches where the opposition's going to be like very parked, and it's going to be like that might be the game where Kane gets like 6 or 7 shots
so
or something like that.
The problem that I have, like, I agree with you completely. I think when they play these shitty teams and the opponent is parked, like the problem I have with Kane of what I've like in my head when I, like, you know, when you honestly, when we pod and you talk and we start doing this, like I have pictures in my head, like kind of on replay.
Right.
And I see Kane mark himself out of the game by standing behind the center back in between the two center backs when the ball's on the flank or at the half space, like all the time. And I don't, and I feel like he scores goals against buses by pure luck when it's just like a ricochet or some pinball
crosses,
thing.
And yeah.
I like, that's how I envision it. Like I see most of his goals and points coming on counters kind of. And I just don't know if that I just don't feel like he's going to be like really good against these bad teams. I don't know. I just don't have that much confidence in him, honestly. It's like, I watch him play and I'm just like, dude, like, what are you up to? Like, you're kind of being a little bit silly here, a little silly pants. And it confuses me many, many times, but you know, he's in. And I mean, on pens is always like, he's a pen and like some little bullshit, like OBS thing away from getting like 12 or 13 points.
Yeah. Every
which
week.
Which he'll always have in his locker. But like, when you look at Lukasz, like, 3 big chances last game. Like, he didn't play this week, but like, if he was playing instead of Sissoko, like, he would have scored.
Yeah, he would have scored.
And like, that's exciting to me. And he's
Kane,
fucking
and Kane wouldn't
5
have,
million less. Yeah, he's and Kane 5 wouldn't million
have
less.
His role wouldn't have been affected at all if that was Lucas instead of Sissoko.
Not at all. So,
that feels so bad. I was so excited to get Kane, but yeah, you might be right. I still think, like,
dude, Kane has a 1 double digit game. It was game week 1 all year.
I know.
It's game week 15.
Like, that's what's
bad.
Interesting and like that's what's
How is
interesting,
that interesting
and why
that's
we start every
bad.
Pod with Spurs is that game weeks 1 through 12 like basically don't count. That's why it's like interesting, but I don't know.
I guess, but like that's bad.
Is that not good? Yeah, okay.
It's not good. That is not good.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. Okay. So that's Spurs. Yeah. I'm fine with your ranking. I'm upset about it, but I'm fine with it.
And dude, I must say, like, if you own Lukasz, like, please hold Lukasz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do not panic with Lukasz.
Yeah.
He's going to get points. He's just going to get points. Sissoko's a fucking piece of shit. Like, he's not going to take his place.
Lukasz is good.
Yeah, he's good. He's just good.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of questions on Chelsea attack. We got Craig. With Tammy out and Mount missing minutes, do we think Pulisic is the essential Chelsea asset? Chucky on Slack, how worried about Chelsea should we be after the Tammy-less shit show? And then Balski again. He needs a Tammy replacement. He's asking, is Tammy to Ings going off the deep end? It would free some money for Spurs assets after the tricky midweek.
All right, so Pulisic, tell me. You bought him.
I bought him. He blanked. Davey capped him. Nightmare. Listen, I mean, it was one of those weird things. I'm getting used to life in the UK where you don't actually watch matches. You just watch Match of the Day. And he apparently hit the bar and he had a couple or a few really good chances. His underlying stats were great. Like, he easily could have braced. But on Match of the Day highlights, he did absolutely nothing and wasn't involved in anything. He had one, like, speculative shot that would swerved and hit the stanch. And
stanchion?
Yeah, stanch. And it just it's just important in that way, even if you're not a stats person, it shows the importance of just like looking at the numbers and seeing the actions that the guys actually had. I mean, he had 5 shots and an XG over 1. Like, that's ridiculously good. That's, you know, incredibly good. And Frank's already talking like he might play down the middle, play striker. So yeah, a blank is fucking annoying, obviously, especially the week you buy a guy, you want him in. But to me, it seems like, and a lot of stats people are very high on him right now, and he looks really good in the matches I've watched, not in the highlights. It seems to me like he is the main man, and I feel very confident in, you know, in him going forward. I feel really good with him.
Okay, so Pulisic in.
Yeah, I still totally think he's like a very good pick. And
so what you sent me something about Kaylee's like statsbomb.com,
mm-hmm.
that he's just like Mo reincarnate.
Yeah. Well, I was
what do you have to say about that?
I guess I'm going to advertise for the Double Pivot Pod. I'm a Patreon supporter of theirs because I'm a fucking nerd and I love that shit. They did like a special, like, deep dive on Pulisic. They do it with all kinds of different players in all kinds of different leagues, but they did Pulisic this past week, and they were just going basically insane about how good he is and how much of, like, a corner he's turned. He had all of these things that he was really good at, and I think Kaylee, the last pod with Kaylee on our pod, he mentioned that Pulisic's, what he's actually elite, like world class at, is receiving the ball in the box and keeping the ball in the box. And, you know, those are obviously two really good things. And Mo is incredibly good at that too. And what he's done this season is kind of just take everything to the next level, where he's turning that possession and that those passes received into the box, he's turning that into shots or shot assists, which he wasn't doing really at Dortmund, even though he's flashing it a little bit. And that's what he's doing this season, and that's why he's putting up like ridiculous 5 shots, 2 key pass type numbers that he never really showed before. So, yeah, I mean, the statistical comp that Goodman came up with was basically Mo before Mo exploded. Like, that's the thing that Mo was incredibly good at in Italy, consistently incredibly good at, before he really just basically became a second striker at Liverpool.
That was bad.
Yeah, hopefully that yeah, gets people excited. So who's Balski getting in for Tammy replacement? And do you even transfer Tammy out at this point? I mean, he might play.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. Like, we are not going to get news, and
that's kind of why we got rid of him, right?
Yeah, I like, this is that, honestly, like 2 years ago, I would have never even considered transferring Tammy out with that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, oh, I have like a couple, like 0.2 value, like blah blah blah, and like, you know, Lacazette's 2 points. I'm like, I want that. Like,
yeah,
I need that.
You need that. Yeah, yeah.
But when you have like three games in a week and you have max uncertainty with no like data and you can rebuy the player like fairly easily, this isn't like a 12.5 million player and where you're bombing him out and you're redistributing it elsewhere, you'll never be able to buy him back. Like, he plays 70 minutes a game. He's obviously like a good player. You know, he's fine.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. But, you know, when you have this uncertainty, now people are also, it's like, oh, well, this like another week where it's like, oh, like I have like Tomori and Soyuncu, like Mount. Like, I have these players who have like good fixtures. Like, I could still get away with it if he doesn't play. Like, you're just losing value and losing upside, I think. And I just like don't really get what's up. Like, he could still miss the next two games easily. Like, the next two games are in fucking
that would be very unsurprising.
Yeah, I mean, the next two games are like tomorrow and in like 3 days. Yeah, so right. You know, like when you look at, like, you know, Rashford, like Jimenez, who just like doesn't ever not return, you know, there's just like a lot of guys that you can get there. I think it's like this is the opportunity where you have to like, okay, let me see. Like, you have a player who's owned by like 75% of everyone. Like, this is where you get a little 10-point diff, like a little chunk of rise.
Yeah, bring in Kane, spiking the fourth someone. Best Spurs option. Like, have fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are two more points that you would. Tammy got 0 points. Laka got two. Kane got two. Like, these are 2 points that you would not have gotten otherwise.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, it's also how you play the game, right? It's like, you know, okay, you have other fires to put out, like you do this and that.
Right.
Or you want to save or whatever, like, oh, maybe I'll be fine midweek. Like, I don't care. I could get away with benching him for the next 3 game weeks. Like, that's very likely.
Yep.
If you have like 5 good defenders, like, you know, even like Rico has a good fixture this week, this midweek or whatever, and you have Tammy, like, you know, you could, if he doesn't play 3 games, like, you're okay. But then it's like, what are we doing here? Like, you're going to just like rest him to play like these like mid-table defenders. Like, I don't know. It's just not, it doesn't seem good. So,
yeah, it's a very low ceiling safe play, and it's kind of what we've been like straying away from. So, yeah. I feel happy to not have him right now, not be like, oh, I hope he plays. Like, I don't know. I don't want that.
No, that feeling we've been through. I think that was also, it's like, we've been through that so much. Like,
so much.
I remember like with like Baines. I remember I had Baines for like.
You had him for like a month.
I had a month of Baines where I think he played like 1 game in like 5. And I would just every week I was like, oh, like great fixture. Like the presser is like, oh, he's like training with the team again. He's like on the bench. And it just happened over and over again. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm just losing points every week. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good opportunity to try and like do it. And, you know, we are already 1 game past it, which is like maybe already too late. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned Jimenez, who is just a great option. And similar to how we talked about Kane and Vardy, like, he will play 90 every game in December. He's never rested. So you have
same that. With Jim. Same with Jim.
That's what I mean, Jimenez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're
that's
bad.
What I'm
you're
talking bad. About. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's great, and he looks great, and his numbers are great, and even though they're like a max 1-goal-a-game team, his involvement is ridiculously high. It's no longer a 2-striker formation, so he's just central to everything. So,
yeah.
And that's a straight swap, so I love that pick. I mean, yeah. Ings, dude, what do you make of Southampton and Ings and shit? Ings is flying.
He's flying, but I think that they looked again just really bad. Well, they were good against Arsenal, but I think they were really bad against Watford. They got very lucky to win the game, and they don't create chances, which is my issue with them. Like, yeah. Their goals are on like actual complete 110% bullshit.
Well, unless you scoop the ball with your hand like Gineppo and then just like throw it forward, that works too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that that wasn't VAR'd out is like maybe the biggest joke of the season.
VAR is just lulls to VAR, but I that's my main problem with Southampton is like they have these good fixtures, but they just play bad. Like every game they play bad. And, you know, I mean, the JWP banger is just like a dumb foul. Like, you know, maybe he could have even saved that. And then things like Ings goals are just consistently of like basically harrying the goalkeeper is just all he does.
Yeah.
And he has probably like two of the last five goals he scored in the league have been down to just like a goalkeeper error, which, you know, that's a skill, I guess, that you're, you know, you're running
and just, yeah, yeah.
You're running and fucking them to hell like all the time. But his goal was ridiculous. Like, it was just fucking bullshit joke goal. Like, it wasn't like, oh, good chance created, like good finish. It was just like a fucking Obbs's second goal, basically. You know, it was just like some broken bullshit. Yeah, like,
scrappiest thing ever.
Yeah. And I just don't. Like, someone on Slack was saying, actually, it was kind of interesting. It was just saying, you know, this season, I'm trying something different where I'm not, you know, watching to see like the underlying stats, if it's sustainable, and just more like results based, like results oriented, just being like, okay, like he's scoring, they have good fixtures. Like, maybe it'll keep going. Maybe it won't. And that's fine. Like, that is fine with me.
It's a fine way to play.
I think you just need to like check your expectations a little bit and acknowledge that like there's a lot of luck here with Ings points. Like, the team looks bad. He plays a different formation with different personnel literally every week. And I mean, you know how I feel about that. We've talked about that on the pod a lot, how much we hate that. And I just don't see this as sustainable. He's also just, he has the player has 7 goals and 1 assist. He has 13 bonus points on the season. That's a lot of bonus points, which is like, you know, it's like very nice
of playing on a bad team.
Yeah. And then, which is very nice because the team sucks and they never keep clean sheets and everyone else fucking sucks. Yeah. But he's not like Bray saying like he's getting these scrappy 1 goals and then it's somehow turning into like more points than it should, kind of.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's just like a bad pick. I don't like him at all. I'd rather have Mousset, not close, for a million less.
Mousset,
I
don't think that's. Don't say that. Don't pronounce that. The T is French, dude.
I'm not French. Mousset.
Mousset.
I don't think that's close. I think he gets such better chances than Ings. Like, the last 4 games.
Well, hold on. Let's get to Mousset. The only thing that I wanted to like add on to Ings is that, well, I guess it's 2 things. One is that, like, I totally agree his goals are extremely scrappy. He's not shooting once per game. He's not doing that like Kapu thing. He's not like only scoring on pens. And like, while his goals are lucky, I like the fact that he's at least getting like 3 shots, 4 shots, 2 shots, sometimes 6 shots against Wolves. And he's like getting in and around there. And we know that like he has a history. The second thing I wanted to say is he has a history of returning points. Like, when he plays, he usually gets points, and he usually also gets injured, but he hasn't done yet this season. So while a lot of his goals are scrappy and lucky, I mean, I feel like it's sort of like what Vardy was doing also, you know, like 3-4 weeks ago. It's just like, oh my God, he gets his one fucking chance and scores it. But it's like that can turn into form almost, you know, and now Vardy's getting tons of chances and scoring every week and everyone's captaining him. And it's like, there are lucky, unsustainable ways of scoring, but he's also doing other things that could lead to goals, like shooting and just being in the box all the time. And like, I think, like, while I mostly agree with what you said, I think there's just, and we've been talking about this a lot, especially recently, it's just like intuition, like gut feel, like balls, feels types of things. And I think that those are very real things. And like, Ings just feels good right now. Like, home Norwich, away Newcastle, home West Ham, away Villa. Like, to me, he just like feels good. Like, Southampton are trying to turn that corner, even though the wins are lucky and the points are scrappy and the goals are scrappy. They're like sort of turning a corner right now. And I'm just like, it just feels good to me. Like, I feel like his points are still just going to trickle in, at least in these good fixtures before, you know, Chelsea, Spurs, Leicester, etc.
Okay.
Yeah, just gut. Giving a little credit to gut.
Yeah, no, you gotta credit the gut. We have different guts on this moment.
I wish I followed my gut more often. Every time I don't do it, it's horrible. So
yeah, every time I transfer Otzlan, it's fantastic.
Yeah, see? But yeah, so let's talk about Mousset. Eric B said, over the last 6 game weeks, he has 4 goals, 3 assists, 9 bones, second highest scoring forward behind Vardy. Next 5 fixtures are home Newcastle, away Norwich, home Villa, away Brighton, home Watford. Amazingly cheap, 5-1. Is he the ideal forward enabler, or should we be considering him? And DeWitt on Slack, who's also going to write guest lineup lambs after tomorrow morning, he said, is Mousset a good rotation/enabler option? Great upcoming fixtures. Looked good with more consistent minutes recently. So you like him, it sounds like.
Yeah, I honestly feel like the more I watch Wilder's team, they like, it's really hard to for me to explain in words of like what I see with this. It's like they are very compact and kind of like parked, but they spring their counters and they have men forward so fast that they have like, they create really good chances because they create these like odd man rushes,
yeah,
you know, kind of on the opposition, like really fast.
And whether and it's they're like designed, I think that's a huge part of it. They're not just, they don't just win the ball back and run forward like Arsenal status. They win the ball back in a certain position and a certain guy wins it. And they, certain few guys are the only ones going forward. The rest of the team stays back. And because they create those overloads. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like they, that's why like Pointstrom keeps getting these just sitters, you know? I mean, he's that like that fourth man in the box, like late runner when the the two or three defenders are like pulled out like in the wrong spot. And, you know, they have the wing back coming in or whatever. It's just, they just are creating a lot on the counters. And, you know, they have a few really good fixtures coming up. The next five are like really good. Home Newcastle, at Norwich, home Villa, at Brighton, home Watford. I feel like they create more chances in open play than pretty much like everyone outside of like the top six from what I've been seeing so far.
Right. Especially I don't the really, counter, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really, so the one con is that like they have no squad. And like they're going to be having to rely on the same like Norwood, Fleck, Lundstrom midfield. Like if they get more tired, you know, that could be a thing. You know, they obviously he rotates like four or five strikers for those two spots. Like, you know, at 70 minutes, like that's like it's all up for grabs. But I feel like with those fixtures, like this is a really good time to go on Mousset and Mousset. And I think. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's like a good pick. I just feel like it's like a good enabler, like a good option for this little spell. And yeah, I mean, Sheffield United just look really good. I don't know.
I like him a lot too. I think that like, you know, he's not going to keep this rate of scoring up. That's for sure. But he is going to keep this rate of assisting up. Like he's creating, like you say, he's creating really good chances. He's like kind of the focal point on a lot of these counters, or he's either the one who takes a shot or he creates the shot. Like he created that really good Fleck chance this weekend.
And that's the thing with him, right? Like we keep seeing him in the box, like his like little layoffs, like his little taps to like the on runner is like really good. It's really good.
Fucking good. I remember I tweeted this actually, but I don't know if you saw it. Like, so StatsBomb did all their like previews of every team before the season started, and they had this like little paragraph on Mousset, and it was just sort of like about
Mousset.
Oh, this is gonna drive me insane, but it was basically just like it was how he's a good like low risk sort of guy with upside. Like, there's a reason that Bournemouth bought him. You know, they saw this in him too, and how and whatever Bournemouth fuckery just couldn't get it out of him or whatever. But he used to be a good prospect. He had like very like good numbers, good prospects, good player, looked good, all that shit. And you know, he had like 14 goals in Ligue 2, you know, before he moved to Bournemouth and stuff. He was seen as like a good young prospect, and it just seems like they just hit the home run. They just basically nailed this guy who's just actually fucking good, and it took Wilder and this team to get it out of him. Like, it doesn't seem like the stuff he's doing is like super unsustainable or lucky or whatever. That's
the difference. It's like, I agree completely.
Shots, like, it's just like good. Like, he's just good.
Yeah, it seems so far away from unsustainable.
Like, yeah.
He's in and around everything, and he's good, and he's linking shit, and he's the final kind of final baller, or at least the assister. Like, he's there. Yeah.
Meanwhile, McGoldrick is like 4.5 XG and no goals on the season.
I think it's a little bit insane that they bought McBurnie and they keep playing Goldrick thinking like this is good. Like, yeah, how is he getting games over him? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't.
It's crazy. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's perfect.
It's like, oh yeah, like good
is.
Work rate. Like what? It's that's XP is off the charts.
Yeah, the XP Wilder's yeah. XP is just insane. All right. So should we move to some questions? Just rapid fire some questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it. So we got a bunch of questions on Wilf, Fakarill, Ashir, Ricky Chubbs. They're all kind of wondering, is it Wilf time? Is it Milivojevic time? Wilf in for Kevin potentially with the bad fixtures, and what to expect from Wilf going forward?
I think, like, yeah, we've been getting a lot of Wilf action on Slack. I think it's like kind of like, how do you check your expectations there? And, you know, he's not an explosive player at all, right? Like, he's
a
one-return
player.
Yeah, he's a one-return player, and, you know, he's pretty cheap. So, you know, you like that. But, you know, if you're expecting him, like, oh, like, I'm going to spike, like, a 15-pointer from Wilf, like, that's not really going to happen. And, you know, the fixture run for Palace is fucking stupid until, like, March.
Yeah.
They've gotten, like, a lot of their really rough fixtures out of the way. And, I mean, I'm more interested in the defense, really, than Wilf. But, yeah, I mean, Wilf is definitely, like, a good option. Like, if you're kind of backed up against the wall, especially like Mount is who's just the worst player in the league. Like that's like a, that's a really good, you know, straight swap. And
even like Matto, like, a million cheaper. I feel like Wilf is going to tick honestly kind of similarly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that, but it's still with Palace is like, I like the defense is just like really, really good value to me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I feel basically the same. It's he's a very weird player in FPL, Wilf, because obviously you'd prefer the fixtures to be good rather than bad, but also we know that they kind of don't matter for his playstyle and Palace's playstyle, so it's all very weird.
Yeah, like at Chelsea and home Norwich are like the same fixture for Wilf.
Exactly, because they play just as conservative and rely just as much on the counter, no matter if they have possession or not. So it's just like, a lot of Pope action. Vinay, Ashir, Chucky, they're all kind of wondering about Pope versus Hendo, Gazzaniga, Ryan, Guaita. And then Chucky followed it up with questioning the mass exodus of Pope. He said, only 9 goals conceded in 7 home games, 3rd highest scoring keeper in the game, opportunity for lots of saves versus City. They haven't been free scoring right now anyway. Feels like any of Pope, Guaita, Hendo, Ryan can haul or fall the next month. And if you have one, just hold your guy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I disagree strongly with that. I think when you look at the fixtures for Burnley, I mean, they have home City at Spurs, the next two. Then they have a few good ones, but one home Newcastle, at Bournemouth, at Everton, like maybe one clean in those three. And then they have United, Chelsea, Leicester, United again, and then Arsenal, like taking us to February. There are not a lot of clean sheets there. Like if they keep 2 clean sheets until game week 26, that would probably be like about what I would expect. And I just don't see a lot of upside there. You know, I just don't like that run at all. And the other thing with Burnley this season, for whatever it's worth, I mean, he has not been keeping a lot of saves.
Yeah, that's
like
he's the thing. Kind of, that's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of like Guaita or Hendo kind of levels of like right in and around, you know, 1 save point per game. And, you know, he had 7 saves against Arsenal, 5 against Liverpool, and then 4 against Brighton.
Against
but otherwise,
Chelsea.
Yeah, it's just they block so much, you know, and they're not like, I don't know, you know, we talked about like last year, 2 years ago with like Heaton and Pope, you know, that they're letting them shoot unimpeded kind of from outside the box or, you know, low XG spots where where the goalkeeper is getting a lot of saves, and it's just not happening this year. And that's like beyond my pay grade for understanding like why or if that's sustainable or what's happening. But, you know, when you're looking at it, you know, you can't look at those fixtures and think like, yeah, he's going to score more points than, you know, Hendo, a team that has so much better fixtures and just better defensively and with similar save output, or Ryan, who just makes a million saves every game with, you know, a little bit better fixtures. And it just doesn't seem like, it just doesn't seem good. You know?
No, I'm with you. I mean, I just looked back while you were talking. This is basically, I feel like, all you need to know. 16-17, they're second in the league in shots conceded to Sunderland by 3. In 17-18, they were second in the league in shots conceded by 9 to Stoke. Last season, they were first by like 70 in shots conceded. And this season, they're 11th.
Yeah. So something's changed.
Something's changed dramatically because they used to be pretty consistently conceding the most shots in the league. Save points were absolutely flying every single season. And they're not even remotely close this season.
Yeah.
And Villa have conceded the most at 257. They're on 187 this season. So it's close.
So between Henderson and Ryan, because that's like been a big slack topic, what do you see there?
I think I still like Ryan. I don't even have the fixtures up on my screen right now, and it's just the bones. The bones are just ridiculous, and they're sustainable. Like, this is a thing that's going to maintain. Their play style gets him a ton of BPS. He has by
no
far
defender
the most.
Is good.
What?
Because they just like no defender is good on bones for Brighton. Like, they just hoof. Like, they don't get the pass completion. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, more than that, he's just so good at them. Like, he has 50 more BPS than the second place guy, who, funnily enough, is Pope. But, like, he is... There's a shout of him getting Max Bones and in any fixture, which is mental. Like, we just saw, they just lost 3-1 to United, and he got 9 saves in Max Bonus. Like, that... No other keeper really has that in the league. So for me, it's probably just Ryan. And honestly, I have to say, I was talking to the guys yesterday about it. Like, I was at Liverpool Brighton. They were fucking good. Like, they're good. I know that they're low on the table. They're still probably going to lose some matches 5-0. They have that in their locker for sure. But, like, I would say that there's no chance of them getting relegated. Like, they're good enough. Like, they're very competent. They're very good on the ball. Ryan's good. They're just good. They're good in possession. I was really impressed with them. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, no, that's worth a lot. I agree.
Yeah. So I like Ryan. I think Guaita is a fine shout. And, you know, you hold him without question for fucking minimum 15 game weeks. Not even
till your next wild card.
Yeah, till we're wild carding for the double game week. For sure, no question. Which is nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. How would you rank him in there? Ahead of Hendo? Yeah. Would you put Schmeichs ahead of all of these guys?
Yeah, I would definitely put Schmeichs ahead of all of these guys. I mean, it's another level of the team, right?
Yeah,
like,
it is another tier.
Regardless
up.
Of the fixture, like, they're so much better. So I would definitely put Schmeichel first. I would probably put Guaita second, Ryan third, Hendo fourth.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there.
Yeah. That's really close.
Gaz way below them.
And this is the kind of thing, it's like kind of a little bit silly for us. Like with FPL, it's like, you know, it's such a fine margin of what tips you into one camp or the
other.
But when we look back at this in February and we're like, oh my God, like this goalkeeper got 20 more points. Like, it's very, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like you said earlier, there's a lot of luck in clean sheets. And all it takes is like one match where one of these guys saves a pen, gets Max Bones clean fucking haul. And then you look back in February and like, wow, this guy got 15 more points. And it's like one match. It's a one action that got there. So it's very close for sure. Ricky and Lucas looking for mount replacements in the same price bracket. So Wilf is definitely one, but anyone else you like in that price bracket? Lucas, I guess.
Yeah, Lucas, but otherwise, no.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Are we out on Tielemans? He's just so much worse than the defenders, right?
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing that we have always talked about with him, where it's just like his role is, you know, very kind of CDM-y, and yeah. He's like a little box to box, and, you know, he'll get his little points here and there, but, you know, when you have players in and around like the seven, he's 6'7" right now, right? Like,
yeah.
When you have players like Lucas who have brace potential, like Tielemans never has that. Like,
yeah.
If he scores a goal, you're just like counting your stars.
You know who I like? I Grealish. I've been shouting him since fucking preseason. He's so fucking good, dude. He's incredible.
Yeah.
Away Chelsea is not a bad attacking fixture. He has home Leicester in game week 16. That's obviously terrible. Away Sheffield United after that, terrible. But yeah. He's a tick guy. Like, yeah, he's a long-term guy. He's captain. He'll probably play all of these matches. He's an insane engine. Even if you're Irish, I think he's a good shout.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Grealish shout. Like, I mean, I like him a lot more than like Tielemans for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's 5'9". I mean, 5'9" is really cheap.
So cheap, dude. You can make a team with him and like Moussa starting every week, and I wouldn't even hate it. The problem is the guys, the premium guys of like Mo, Mane, Raz are like not that good either. So it's like the best team is like 70 million.
Yeah.
Gilfie on Slack, favorite differentials for Christmas. My rank is stuck in no man's land. I wouldn't mind having a couple punty slots in my team.
I mean, the thing I'm looking at, I mean, I'm obviously just like kind of for the lulls, but I think that triple Palace D is like something I might hit into this week. We'll get there.
Oh my God.
What? Is that a surprise?
It's perverse. It's not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fucking my XP, so I'm always looking for that XP, but I think that like that's the kind of thing that I mean, you just look at the fixtures and it's like kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If they're cleaning, you know, if you look at their fixtures from like now to like basically game week 31, which is, you know, March 21st, they have one bad fixture at City. They have a home Arsenal in there, but otherwise it's just a sea of green. And we are one of those teams that are also like good away clean shouts because we just set up with three CDMs and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
If we keep like, you know, a 58% clean sheet rate in those fixtures or something, which I think is like kind of reasonable, like basically a 1-2 clean sheet, that's so much value because the players are cheap, right? Like if you have like Guaita and Kelly and, you know, PVA is a little expensive, or, you know, you pick a center back, you hit that, like Sacco maybe.
Mama, baby.
Yeah, but it's like the fixtures are like so good.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, to me, like, that's the biggest differential right now that I can identify.
Well, yeah. And honestly, I like sort of like challenge the premise of the question because we just have these two manager sackings. Like, Spurs players are not highly owned. Like, I know the idea of a differential is like some guy that no one has or whatever. Like, Son is under 15% owned. Like, get Son. Like, Lucas is 4.2% owned. Aurier is 4% owned. Like, these guys are fucking good. Ozil's under, probably no one has Ozil. Oh,
that's perverse. That's ridiculous.
He is 0.9% owned. Like, there's... Usually the word differential is associated with like a complete punt, like a sort of sexy guy on a pretty bad team or something like that. But like there are just actual good guys on top six teams that are differentials right now. So you don't have to like look too hard and find some like gem or something like that. Moussa, it's true. Everyone we talked about. Moussa, Grealish, fucking all these guys.
Yeah.
Even Pulisic probably. Graham, is Salah's Son a no-brainer at this point?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing with Salah?
I have no idea. I might even go back to Raz.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I might just... Going back to Raz is the exact type of thing that both of us would never do. Because we would just be like scorned and just be like, I fucking hate this, you know? And I'm just like, oh, maybe. It was my original move anyway, was mow out and keep Raz. And like, maybe it's turning a new leaf, that positioning against Newcastle. I mean, they're playing plenty of other narrow fucking buses coming up, you know? Burnley, United, Wolves, Leicester, Sheffield United. Like, there's plenty of opportunity for him to come inside against a lot of these teams. So I'm just like, yeah, maybe I'll just go back to Raz. But yeah, Son is absolutely great, too. No question about that.
Yeah. Yeah, not much to add there.
Jeff D. Unsai, only three more. At Jeff D. Unsai, I feel like the past few weeks have taught me that hits are good and logic doesn't matter. For example, Laka versus Obbs. Is it time to just have fun, or do we trust the process?
Just it's always about threading that needle.
Yeah, it's threading the needle. Like, we're YOLOing, but if you actually follow the logic in our moves, like, there's some sense. We're not, like, throwing our ranks out the window, I don't think. We're getting guys that we like and who are good for the most part.
Yeah, sure. I like that.
Sure. Why not?
Sure.
Scan Slack, with Vardy now a legit captaincy option, do we really need 2 to 3 10+ million premiums like in the past? There's a lot of value in defense too. Does it feel like we're picking and sticking to more expensive assets just because we can? Salah, Sterling, Obbs, Kane, etc.
And yeah, I think that definitely. This is like, yeah, this is definitely like the season of like the 11 million plus assets are just not really worth the bacon. And, you know, especially with Vardy cap, you know. Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure,
no, it's a great way of putting it. I mean, it's like whatever bias is called this, we're like legitimately picking players just because they're bigger names, more expensive on better teams, and all that's undeniably true, but we're not picking players because they're like better value or better picks right now.
Yeah,
for sure. And then Espen on Slack, last question: do you still rate Madison with all the soupy soups emerging at Spurs? Oh my god, this is such a tilting question.
Yeah, I have no words for this. What do you think? I mean, you have Mata, and you bought him in for two blanks.
My slight rant earlier about like gut feel and intuition, it was basically with Mata in mind, because he is the player more than anyone else this season that everyone else has been high on. And I've been like, no, I still think he's like not a good pick, not good value, whatever. When it came time to make my like -8, my like big dick move, I bring in the guy that I don't even like. Like, why do I even have him? It's like a byproduct of like low self-esteem or something. I like talk shit on him all season. Yeah. And then
why do you not get Ozil on? Like, right. I don't know.
Yeah, and yeah, the timing was a little unlucky because it was right before the Poch sacking, I think, and it was, you know, obviously before the Arsenal sacking and stuff like that. But he's never going to score points as long as I own him, and I'm going to get rid of him soon and just rip the Band-Aid off because he's not a good pick. And his goals were fucking lucky bullshit earlier in the season, and yeah, he'll take a few things, but half the time he's the deepest player on their fucking team, and it's just like a nightmare, and I feel so bad that I own him.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
God, that was, I didn't need to read that question. That was annoying. All right, let's go on.
Yep.
So what are you looking at for caps?
I mean, obviously Vardy is like the most obvious thing of life.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not gonna cap Vardy this week.
What are you
week.
Talking about?
Yeah, come on. Fucking I'm perverse. I'm looking at Laka or Pointstrom.
Come on.
No, there's actually 0% chance I captain Vardy.
Why?
I'm not captain. Because I just like, I want to have more fun.
I hate to see this.
Yeah, it's fine.
You're
just
going down
don't,
in flames.
Don't, yeah. Just don't start. Don't start with me.
So who are you looking at?
I'm looking at Laka or Pointstrom.
Lundstrom?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Okay, so I'm going to captain Laka.
Laka home Brighton. Yeah, I guess it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So one thing I was, I mean.
I love that you're just like moving on. Oh
it's
my
it's fine.
God.
I mean, I don't like care. I get captain blanks every week. It just like doesn't matter. But one thing I was thinking about with Laka that is little, I mean, this is like probably too deep, but when you go to Anfield, that game, you are through the ringer, like the most ringers of ringers. And I like that idea of getting the back end of that, like sloppy
right,
seconds.
Right. Coming. Especially the way that they lost, where they like almost got it back and pressed super hard for the last 20 minutes. Yeah. Emotionally and, like, draining as well.
Yeah. And like going from like fucking ass fuck, like middle of the ocean, wherever they live, Brighton, South Coast, to, you know, fucking Midlands, to Liverpool, and then coming back down to London. I feel like they could get done.
Well, that's what I was saying kind of earlier, is like they have gotten done multiple times this season. They play in a style that's very positive and attacking and possession and tiki-taka, honestly, more than they get credit for. That lends them to getting like fucking railed 4-0 sometimes. But it also means they're like kind of good, and that's why he got a contract extension, and they'll pick up points and stuff like that. So I don't hate that shout.
Yeah, well, I mean, hate it or love it.
It's ridiculous not captaining Vardy, but if you're not going
It's ridiculous to not captain Vardy. Yeah, I'm definitely not captaining Vardy.
No, yeah, as long as you know that, and then I'm fine with you.
The awareness is off the charts. Yeah, like, X awareness is like 20.0.
If I ask you if you're too drunk to drive home, I need to know that you're like aware. And then you can go do whatever you want, you know what I mean?
It's like, I only had like 10 drinks tonight. What are you talking about?
And I'm like, I have to have that look in your eye. Like, you know that this is stupid, right? Not Captain Vardy. And as long as you're just like, yes, I know. Then I'm like, he's clear. Mm-hmm. He's good.
So are you going to be in Vards?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Dumb to not catch. Dude, he doesn't blank.
Well, yeah, and what I was looking at his numbers, and one of the things that's funny that's happened is kind of what we talked about, is like he was getting by with these like scrappy, like he probably shouldn't have had a goal, he had his one shot or whatever the fuck. That's no longer the case. Like, he could have braced against Everton, he could have fucking haddied against Brighton. He's like flying right now.
He's had 5 blanks all year. And of those 5 blanks, it's been at Liverpool, home Spurs, at United, at Chelsea, home Wolves. He's literally scored every other game.
That's so and they're, sick.
They are not playing a top 4. They're home Watford. Like,
that's
what
I'm saying.
It's just insane to think that he won't score.
I bet him golden boot in preseason.
No, you boot when you want.
Huge odds. Let's go.
He has 13 goals already. That's like fucking locked up. That's like done.
I have him over 15.5 goals. That's what his over-under was. And golden boot. He's on 13.
He would have to tear his ACL like getting out of the shower tomorrow to not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that feels good.
But Laka, though.
So talk to me about this like triple move to get in Triple Palace. What moves are you making here?
So I'm honestly looking at Robbo and Pope to PVA and Guaita for a hit.
Robbo, Pope to PVA, Guaita for a hit.
Yeah.
I'm
either going to do that or I'm going to save.
It does feel like a weirdly very good week to save to me with just so little time off and rotation and stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, my team's fine. Like, my bench is fine. Everything's fine, but
I think just save.
Yeah, save seems good, but I'm still just like,
all it's Pope's home city. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a 2-pointer, and it's really
probably a 2-pointer.
Yeah. It's pretty comical to think that Liverpool are going to keep another clean sheet this season, and this game tomorrow or on Wednesday is a game that is this season. So that's dumb, you know, that's like fucking stupid.
Dude, yeah.
So I'm thinking about just like doing it as fast as possible, taking the hit and then just having that locked in for a while.
Can you afford Pope to Ryan? Like, do you have money in the bank?
Yeah, I can do that.
Just do the Pope and then do Robin.
But then I'm not going to have my treble, which you know how I feel about it.
You'll get your treble. It's still coming.
No, it's not. I can't. Like, that's the missing link.
Oh, you can't. I'm not gonna get rid of Quinta, you mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to get rid of Trent or Poinstrom.
Yeah, I didn't realize you couldn't afford Guaita. You could only afford Ryan.
Yeah, I can't afford Guaita.
Yeah, I think just get Ryan.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah, I might do that.
Although, I mean, he has Arsenal, so you could just save still. He's away Arsenal. It's not like...
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the same shit. Like, saving is fine.
Yeah, I think save or get Ryan. I would probably just get Ryan or something.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I'm kind of partial to saving because I do feel like it's silly to think that he's not going to play Robbo in the Derby. But then, like, the 2 days, if there's a game that Robbo's going to miss, it's at Bournemouth. Like, that.
I agree.
That's, like, the most, like, okay, like, we'll play Hector Moreno that game. Like, I don't know if you saw in the books.
I fully agree. It'll be the first 11 against Everton. That would be ridiculous.
But, like, if that's a game he's going to miss, like, if I could do that for free, like, that sounds okay. Yeah. But, yeah, like, Pope to Ryan when they both have bad fixtures, like, I don't know. That's dumb, I feel.
Yeah,
like,
but that's the thing with Ryan, right? I just didn't say words out of my mouth. But what I tried to say is that's the thing with Ryan, right? It's like Pope's going to get like 3 or 4 saves and concede 4. And Ryan's going to maybe concede 2 or 3 and get 8 saves and 2 bones for pass and completion.
Yeah, maybe.
So it's like that's why you want him.
So anyway, I mean, I don't really give a shit that much. I think savings, like after I took a -4 and a -8, it feels okay to say.
Yeah, it feels okay to say.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
Wilf's going up tonight. I just saw. Wow. Okay.
Oh, good job by him. Are you saving also?
Well, yeah. So I can save. I have really good cover with Connolly at Arsenal, which he'll probably score in. Like I almost want to start him over Tomori. I might do, honestly.
I would start him over tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean tomorrow home Villa. Yeah, I probably will. Double checking it right now. So I have good cover in tomorrow home Villa still. But yeah, I mean I'm gonna get rid of Mo soon, so I feel like I should just do it, and like doing it to Raz or Sun are probably the main two guys that I'm looking at.
Yeah, but getting Sun before United feels bad.
Yeah, it's kind of silly too, right?
Yeah, I think that's dumb. Save seems good.
Yeah, so I'll probably save or do Mo to Mane or do Mo to Raz.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Save looks good. Let's save together.
Yeah, maybe we'll hit together, save together, ride together, die together. Yeah.
We'll take a -20 next week.
Oh, can't wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah, Mo is just he looks so fucked up right now. Yeah. It was ridiculous. He really does. Like in watching him in person, like especially like closely.
I mean, he gets subbed every game. He never gets subbed.
Yeah, before the injury, literally never gets subbed, and now he gets subbed every game. He looks
every game
so unsure of himself and like just not confident. Like he's just like getting by in the matches. Yeah. He's not himself at all. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chowdhury. Fucking dick.
Yeah, Afro man.
Yeah, fuck him.
Man City mercenary.
Let me slap Anises for new signups. We got a few new signups. Yeah, Christopher O'Donnell, Dolan Luke, Josh Vaughn, Darren Houston, Jake Dolan. Wow, double Dolan duty. Sam Vanden Weingard. I wonder where he's from. Callum Henderson, Adam Beasley, and Yazan. Thanks so much. Slap that ass. Get in there. Big month, big December coming up. So we'll be on and off if we do Friday My Life episodes or not for this month, because in a game week, like in a week like this week coming up, we're just going to do a normal pod probably on Thursday or Friday instead of a Friday My Life because of the turnaround. But then in the middle of the month, it's back to normal schedule. So we'll do Friday My Lives. I think that's it, brother.
Yeah, good pod. Good job by you.
Check us out at fmlpl.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlpl. Support us at patreon.com/fmlpl.